First time I met you guys was last
and
year
at Real
Rascuache with the Los Angeles Ward. And now you're talking about working on, this is your first feature?
A first feature narrative. We have a feature film, Pass the Mic. That's a documentary on Latinos and hip-hop, which Richard directed.
Oh, cool. That's good to know.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's available on Amazon, I think, still, for a short period of time.
Yes. It was released in 2003, and it screened at the American Film Institute's Music Duck.
So agoraphobia. So, don't worry, Pepe, I'm going to come to you.
No. Hey, it's fine.
You guys wrote it, and also did the screenwriting, and also producers.
Yes, Richard directed it.
So, tell me a little about the story, because I have bits and pieces, so
okay.
Let's hear it from you guys.
Well, I mean, it's a story about this woman who's riddled with all of these phobias and fears and anxiety, and she brings together a group of misfits all around the guru, Nanak, that Pepe plays. And this group of misfits, we worship Nanak, we follow him every show because he's an internet guru, and we are all, the whole world of all these people's different stories are all connected to Crystal and through Nanak. Like, he brings us together. He is the poster boy for happiness, for love. That's what he preaches on his show. And he's a combination of like Walter Mercado and Deepak Chopra.
Yes, because I was going to ask our legendary Pepe here.
Uh-huh.
Is that what kind of draw you in to be a little Walter? And a little
yeah, because see, it's the cross between Walter Mercado and Deepak Chopra, and they call me 2D. 2D so shallow.
That's pretty good. I like that.
So, I mean, it was a perfect thing because I've had my Indian guru character that I've been working on for years,
but
my one-man show that was part of it, but it's a sensibility of the character of what they've done, and it's like so my spirit, you know, helping. I've been teaching improv workshops and stuff for 50 years, but it's like giving back.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly,
and just doing things the right way. I mean, for the right reason. I mean, just because you do it. I mean, it's like, hey, did you see what I did? No, I mean, and it was there, you know. And then they came to me with it, and so we met, and I said, wow. When I read it, I said, man, this is great. I love it. I mean, it's very hip, smart. New age, you know, and it's all the things that most Chicano films aren't.
It's true.
And this is only a Chicano film because there's the Chicanos created it, but it's really more about the real Chicano film is that it's an American film.
Exactly.
It has not. It's like, hey, yeah.
I mean,
we
yeah,
just happen to be.
We all come.
Yeah.
I mean, we live here. This is our home, so we are Americans.
Yeah,
or like my brother, I refer to North Americans here because I'm from Central America.
Yeah, right. But the thing is that sensibility of the difference between Central America and the North American mindset. So we have the Latino thing is that family.
That's the unity.
Family, and that's what with Crystal and her group, you know, they're following me on the internet, I sell all things Nanak on the internet. You know, my self-help books, my mugs, T-shirts, posters. How many do you want? Because we are taking orders.
That is so American. I was going to ask you. your character definitely seems to have some issues, and so who were you channeling?
Actually, the story's really personal to me. I was channeling a little bit of a lot from my life. It's a comedy, but the issues that we deal with are very real. You know, anxiety about being in front of people. And then for Crystal, she hasn't left her house. She was humiliated, you know, on the internet. And that made her retreat into her home, and she hasn't left for 5 years.
I was reading about that, so that's why I was trying to figure out, wonder what actually happened there.
Yeah, so there's an incident that occurs early on in the film where you're going to see that Crystal is totally humiliated on the internet.
She's a school teacher.
Yeah, which I think got a pink slip.
Yeah, so on her last day of school, she runs into a little problem with the children.
And we know how children can be.
Yes. And also, like, you know, there was that incident that happened with that woman that was attacked on the bus.
Yeah.
And so these stories are very real. They're happening all over the place. People record it. They put it on the internet. And then what happens to those people that are humiliated? Because there was so many stories when we were doing our research, writing the film. And I was also, after we had written it, we were like, oh my gosh, there's all these stories of people killing themselves. There was a lot of teenagers who are humiliated online, who are bullied online, and then they go and kill themselves. And that's like a really deep issue. But we deal with it in a very light way. You know, Crystal doesn't, you know. Crystal, so what happens to that person who was humiliated? That's Crystal, that person.
And that's why you call it a dark comedy.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I think the metaphor is that the children are the Hollywood producers as well. And the humiliation, because that women have gone through more than the men in the business. But the tables are turned now, because now the women.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why we are really sucking up.
Actually, I said to a friend earlier today, there's no problem with nepotism.
No, not at all. And the fact that they're a team, and how they come, and Richard is like this. Well, they both are. They got that Zen thing going on, you know. And but the way they created this story is beyond that, you know. It gives you all the colors.
I'm actually curious. I really want to see it. So, so on an independent film like this, let's talk the little business part of it. I'm pretty sure it's a tight budget. So, how was your production schedule on this?
We shot for, it was 18 days. Yeah, feature film in 18 days. But when we get people like Pepe, you know, and Richard directing, it that was easy for us.
Well, we spend a lot of time in pre-production, breaking down the script, you know, really getting to know the characters, and then going out and trying to cast really well. Because with 18 days, it's really difficult unless you have the actors who come prepared, who come willing to give all they got. And we were lucky
You have a good sized cast, too. I was looking.
Yeah, we do.
Great locations.
Yeah, it's shot around town, I see.
All in Los Angeles, yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, hey, that shot looked okay. That's a big actually, there's a shot on your either on Facebook or on your website. I saw like a sheriff walking away.
Oh, yeah.
Was he checking to see if he had a permit?
Oh, well, he did have a permit that day.
He's actually required to be there. He had to stay there the whole time. It's just part of the, you know.
I was just wondering because he was walking away.
Well, one of the issues we had to deal with even when writing the script was we're dealing with an agoraphobic woman. Yet we didn't want the whole story to take place in one house. Because then the viewer starts to feel claustrophobic. So what we did was each exterior had to be someplace unique or enticing just to keep the story going. And also something that our main character, Crystal Luna, desires to be, you know.
Yeah,
what she's missing out in the world.
Yeah.
The contrast.
You know, I saw wrote it just a couple of days ago, but I wrote it down so I could remember it. I have to write it down to remember stuff. But she says, oh, yesterday. Interesting, from China. And how she started working as a kid and stuff, and now she's with President Obama. And she's the CEO of Magic something. But she says, she says, I was nobody who wanted to be somebody, and I didn't know where to stop.
That's
I like that.
Yeah, that's an interesting way of putting it. Yeah.
And there is no stopping, you know, and that's, and I think for me it's like promoting them as a team, and the fact that she is a woman, and that now the women are coming into their own, finally in Hollywood, and taking advantage of that, and saying, here, look, we have the CEO of the company, you know, who is a woman, the creator, the star, you know, and not waiting for Hollywood to come and say, hey, you guys, no.
No, you have to do it yourself
It's so smart. I mean, the story that it is like I was saying, it crosses over.
Like you said, it's an American story. I mean, there's so many things that we all share in common that we don't stop to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why we're always...
Yeah.
And
that's what that's what the guru preaches. And that's what, you know, that's the science. I guess. And that's why this group of misfits is brought together. Because she has these self-help groups inside her home, and they're all misfits. And they're all from different walks of life. And we have a transgender played by Carlos Ranzi Ramirez. And
One of the twins.
Yes. One of the twins. And so there's all these
fantastic.
Different people.
Fabulous, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. And then the other thing I think is important to mention is that people ask me a lot lately, have been asking us, why is this important to the Latino audience? And it's like, it's obvious to me that it's so important, because when we have somebody like Pepe Serna, who, Pepe, you've always talked about the kind of roles that you're offered, the very stereotypical roles, and then this is breaking that cycle and changing the way people will think of people when you think of Pepe Serna, and then he can play a guru, which it's so like... I mean, his charisma on screen, like, we needed that for this character. Like, it had to be so believable in order for it to be like, oh, everybody loves this guy.
And that's one of the things about Pepe that I've always remembered you. I mean, for me, growing up, you know,
I like that. I like the fact, you know.
Is that, you know, I mean, I actually went back to your IMDb because I go, okay, Pepe's been around for a while, and it's like, and you were on so many television shows,
yeah,
but always remembered you because there was always something about whatever character you were doing. You say, that's Pepe Serna.
Yeah. And this movie has done is I was always Mr. Humble, you know, humilde, you know, and pass the ball around, you know, let the other guys shoot and stuff. But this movie is making me take ownership of my life and career and say, hey, yeah, I've been here a long time, you know, and done a lot. And now I'm starring in the movie that is...
That you're very happy about.
I mean, very happy about.
And producing.
Yes, I noticed you're also one of the producers.
Yeah, and to work with a team like them. And then the cast that they put together with, like,
it looks like an international cast too.
Yeah, it is true. Shivani is from Canada.
What's her name from the Dominican Republic?
Leah Chapman.
Yeah.
Wait, she's from the Dominican Republic, but she's but she also has ties to Spain.
Yeah, she went to Spain and she worked a lot in Spain.
Yeah,
cool.
That's right. Yeah. She just come back from Spain.
Yeah.
And then Robert.
Robert Halleck,
who's a teacher at the
Actor Studio.
And of course, Carlos is beyond brilliant in this. You know, and Richard,
Richard?
No, no.
another Richard.
Ricky. Marco.
Yes, Ricky.
Rick.
Ricky.
Marco.
Marco Parra.
Marco.
He's another border town baby.
We'll get to you later.
Marco's another border town baby from Arizona.
It looks like you had a lot of stage work and some film stuff. What do you enjoy? Are you enjoying the most, the in front or behind the camera? Also, you too, Richard. You know.
What do I enjoy most?
What are you enjoying?
I like it all.
You like it all.
I love it all.
Which is a good thing.
I love it all. It's terrible and good at the same time.
I don't act, so I hate being in front of the camera. Directing I love, and I love writing. Producing is a necessary evil. It's something that needs to be done.
Yes. And we need more Latinos doing that.
Yeah. But I think what really helped this production was that when we decided to make this film, we wanted to make sure we did it the right way. Mm-hmm. You know, we got all our clearances. We went out and got the locations, but also permits to be at those locations, so you know we don't get kicked out, or you know,
a lot of filmmaking here.
But a lot of that had a lot of that had to do with when Jade, who was producing, and when we, like, for example, we needed a beach, you know, and she went out and got us this gorgeous beach, you know. She got us this great location for Nanak's show, and then we needed dancers. So she went out and got us 12 dancers. And it was like, whatever we wanted, you know, it would make the film better if we had this. A few hours later, we had it. And so it was...
I pulled out my hair.
Some hours later.
But you put your producer hat on, you know?
I have to say that none of, like, all this pre-production would have done no good had we not had the right director there every day pulling it together. Because at the beginning of production, it's all on their director. That's and everything. He did an amazing job to pulling this cast together and the tight schedule we were working on. And like Pepe said, his zen-ness, which is obvious to anybody that meets him. Mm-hmm. They're like, who's the Safala and who's the Sano?
I love the name of your company.
It really should be Safala y Sano y Safalo y Sana.
Actually, we registered it that way.
You did?
Yes, we did.
Because
we registered both names. Because, you know,
you do have to look
company.
In the mirror.
No, yes. The first time when I first saw the production, who was producing
the Los Angeles War, yeah.
And I went, Safala y Sano? Oh, wow. Because I go, that's not a name. That's
a statement.
That's a reality. That's a reality.
Very, very. No, did you both come up with it at the same time, or did you?
Actually, Jade came up with the name of the company because we were trying. One of the things is, I love writing, but coming up with titles is really difficult. And so, same thing with the company. You know, we were trying to come up with something that would really represent us, and I couldn't think of anything, and I just kept throwing stuff out there. She was throwing stuff out there, it wasn't really working, and then I just got a call and said, what do you think of Safala y Sano? I said, I like it.
That word is so, like, interesting to me. It's like
it's a real Tex-Mex.
Exactly, because I know it because of, like I was telling you earlier, growing up in L.A. with a lot of Mexican-American friends and friends from Mexico, and they used to call me Safala.
I feel like I've been called worse.
So then the ones who didn't call me Safala would call me just crazy.
It's kind of funny when people, like, when they know what Safala means, and they say, we tell them Safada Isano, mm-hmm. and they know, they just give like a little knowing smile, like a little smirk.